Good morning. Today's scripture reading is found in Mark 10, 13 through 16. I'll be reading from the NIV. Hear the word of the Lord. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Nick. Let's pray once again. Lord, as we come to your word and to this particular passage this morning, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, teach us, show us, maybe things that we've not seen before in this familiar passage. May we see your character, your love, your grace, your invitation. May we get a better glimpse, a clearer event, glimpse of your kingdom. And Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to help us to receive this, not just in our brains, but in our hearts, to the very soul, so that we can be responsive to you, that we can live our lives in a way that reflects your truth and your kingdom purposes. And Lord, I pray this morning that, as I always do, that you would guard my words, help me to accurately, rightly, carefully communicate your truth and your word this morning. Help me just to be the vessel, just the mouthpiece. And Lord, may it be as it must be, the power of your living Spirit and your living word that does the work in us as individuals and as a church to make us more like Jesus. And this we pray in his precious name. Amen. I do love this story in the life of Jesus. I think maybe as much as any other passage in the Gospels, it gives us insight into the very heart and nature of Jesus. And I want to go back over the story, that this passage that Nick just read, and just, I want you to imagine with me for a moment what it would have been like. I'm not sure how you picture it. You know, I've seen, I remember from a childhood seeing pictures of Jesus in this setting. But when I hear the first part of this passage about Jesus, I think probably he was he was in his usual mode. He was probably teaching, and he was probably surrounded by crowds of people, probably most of them adults, who were listening to him teach. That was just kind of his normal mode of operation. That's who was usually drawn to him. But in this case, on this particular day, there were also some families who came, some people with kids. We don't know a whole lot more about them, where they came from, what ages they were, anything like that, but they were coming to Jesus. Now, it was part of that culture, that day, that rabbis or teachers would often bless little children. And so this was not unusual or a surprise that these families would see Jesus as a great teacher, as a rabbi, and want him to bless their children. So that's why they've come. The disciples, however, saw their role as kind of Jesus' protectors, if you will, almost like his bodyguards. You know, we're going to keep out the riffraff. We're going to make sure Jesus stays focused on his task. You know, that must be our job as his disciples. So they kind of probably put a rim around him and make sure Jesus, surely his focus has got to be on teaching these adults. So when they see these families, these children coming and trying to get to Jesus, they begin to hold them off. You say, "I'm sorry, Jesus is not available right now. You're going to have to come back at another time. You know what? Mary Magdalene's got a program for the kids on that other hill over there, if you want to take your kids over there." Now, I don't know exactly what happened, but the text does tell us that in the midst of this, there was a little bit of heated discussion. So as they send these families, these kids away, I can almost see the kids just kind of, they drop their heads, disappointment. They're not going to get to see Jesus. And the parents beginning to get a little bit defensive and maybe argumentative, and the disciples doing the same thing. In fact, because the text tells us, says they rebuked these families. Whatever was going on, caught the attention of Jesus. And Jesus sees maybe beyond the crowd. He sees this something, this commotion out on the edge of the group that he's teaching. And he responds to it. He stops whatever he's doing, and he goes to where this commotion is happening. And what does Jesus do? He rebukes the disciples who were rebuking these families. In fact, the text tells us that Jesus was, the word there used about Jesus is that he was irritated, agitated, upset. The word has packed with emotion. Jesus did not like what was going on, and he went over there to do something about it and to change it, because the disciples didn't understand his heart in this matter. So the question you have to ask as we get to this, look at this passage, is to say, why did he do this? Why were these children important to him? To him, they were not a bother. They were not an inconvenience. He wanted to minister to them. In fact, he gives this, if you notice this, a double command to the disciples. Did you see that in the text? He says, essentially, start allowing them to come and stop hindering them from coming. So don't even, just stop stopping them, but now you need to help them come. You need to make it possible for them to come. Double command that he gives here. And he made his wishes crystal clear. I don't know about you, but I remember this from hearing this passage as a kid. Remember this in the old King James Version? In King James, it says that Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." And I remember thinking as a kid, how was that suffering? Why was this suffering for the kids to be able, that they wanted to come to Jesus? And that's the point. It was not suffering at all. This was exactly what Jesus wanted. He wanted to minister to these children and to these families. Why were they important to him? Why did Jesus stop everything else he was doing? Was it because he was just tired of ministry to adults and said, I need a little kid time. I need a little play time. No, I don't think that was it. Was it that these kids were the kids of some important officials and so therefore Jesus had to do kind of the politically correct thing? No, that wasn't it either. Or maybe these were family members of Jesus. Maybe these kids were some of his nephews and nieces or something like that. No, in fact, for the most part, as we know from the Gospels, Jesus' family stayed as far away from him as possible. No, the text tells us why this was important to Jesus. Why was he emotional about this? It says in verse 14, Jesus says, "For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Children are invited guests in God's kingdom. Not only that, but they exemplify the right attitude for anybody who wants to enter God's kingdom. Notice that in verse 15, Jesus says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. What does he mean? Well, how were these children coming? They were just wanting to be with Jesus. They were coming by faith that he would receive them. They were coming to receive a blessing from him. They were just simply wanting to be with Jesus. And that's what Jesus is saying. That's the only way anybody can come to him, can enter his kingdom, is if they come with that same attitude, like a little child, receiving it by faith, desiring the kingdom as God's gift. And once these children were allowed to receive that blessing from Jesus, then here again, I just picture this. I see them kind of breaking through the crowds and Jesus welcoming them with open arms. Verse 16, he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Now, one picture that I found that maybe captures this a little bit. This is probably from one of the movies about Jesus. And here's Jesus. I love this because it shows him getting right down on the ground with them, pulling a child onto his lap, talking to these children and these families and parents. That's what I think is going on here. He embraced them. And this is God's love in action. This is God's response to anyone who wants to come into his kingdom, who wants God's blessing in their life. That's God's response. Jesus showed it to us in this passage. come to Jesus, you get a Jesus hug. He draws you onto his lap. Those of you that are parents or grandparents and or have really any kids in your life that you just love to be with will understand this story. Our grandson Mark, a little over two years old, I get to see him maybe once a week. And when I see him, he calls out my name, and I mentioned that a couple weeks ago. But you know what I do? I drop to a knee to get on his level. I open my arms, and he comes running to me. The first thing we do is a big hug when we see each other. First thing we do. This is God's position for us. That's what Jesus is showing us in this passage. That if you desire to come to me, this is what I am doing. I'm on my knees, I'm opening my arms, and I want to embrace you. That's the message of this passage. So what does this story and passage have to do with Vision Sunday? Isn't this just a sweet story for kids? Why are we doing it here? Shouldn't this be in the children's church? You know, why don't we do the story over there? We let them sing, Jesus loves the little children. That's just for kids, right? No, it's for us. Because this is a kingdom message. In this passage, Jesus is giving us his view of the kingdom. Jesus is telling us how people enter his kingdom. And Jesus is showing us what kingdom vision really is all about. And that's what we're talking about today, too. Kingdom vision. See, what we're going to talk about today, yes, there are the specifics of how we enact that, live that out here at Trinity Church in Marble Hill. But truly, our vision must be connected to God's kingdom vision, to what Jesus said about the kingdom and how one gets into the kingdom. And so that's why this is our key text for this morning on Vision Sunday. I want to tie our Trinity vision for 2020 to two points in this passage. The first one is just the message of the kingdom, message of God's kingdom, and then the recipients of God's kingdom. So let's look first at the message. You've got to get the message. Understand the message. So let me just reiterate it. I kind of mentioned it as we were looking at the text itself. But let me mention it here again. And I'm going to put it up on the screen, kind of in four simple statements. But I think this is the message of the kingdom. So here's the first. God's kingdom is open and accessible to everyone. That's certainly what Jesus is showing us in this passage, in the way he responds to these children. God's kingdom is open and accessible to all. But secondly, God's heart desires for all to enter in. You certainly get that from Jesus. When those children were being stopped and prevented, Jesus broke in and said, no, no, all are welcome. Third, this is where our response has to come into play, but the kingdom, God's kingdom, can only be entered through childlike faith, and Jesus makes that very clear in this passage too. It must be received forth as a gift of God. That's what it means. To receive it by childlike faith means to see that the gift of the kingdom is a gift in nature and therefore must be received freely. That's the gospel message. That's the good news. And so this is our primary message as followers of Jesus. So we've got to grasp this gospel message for ourselves, and we need to understand it well enough to be able to share it with other people too, in its simplicity. And that's our calling. That's what it means to be a disciple, to understand this and to be able to share it. Essentially, Jesus, I think, in this passage is saying to us, let them in. Don't hinder anyone from coming to me because you don't understand my heart in this. See, that's what happened to the disciples. They just didn't get it from Jesus. They didn't understand his heart, and so they were holding people off. And Jesus says, no, no, understand my heart is for them to come, for all to come. Those that you think are the least, I think are the greatest. Let them come. And so Jesus is saying to us, you've got to get my heart in this if you're going to be my follower. And so that's got to be our mission as a church too. So We have stated it in a particular way. We have it in our bulletin every week, but more important than having it written in our bulletin, I hope we're living it out every day. I hope you remember this on occasion, shining the light of Christ for the glory of God by the power of the Spirit. Would you just say it one time with me? It's up on the screen here. Shining the light of Christ for the glory of God by the power of the Spirit. Now, let me just point out a couple things in this very simple mission statement. We are Trinity Church. That's our name. And you'll see the Trinity reflected in that very statement, in those three statements, those three phrases, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, who are all involved in our salvation and our redemption and our sanctification. And so we state that. We make that pretty clear right in our mission statement. But this little statement also reflects Jesus' marching orders for us as a church. So let me take you back, and we'll add to this slide the key text that we have put, that we've chosen to go with our mission statement, and that is Matthew 5, 14, and 16. You, Jesus saying this to his followers, you are the light of the world. So wait a minute, didn't Jesus say that he was the light of the world? Yes, he did. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, but then he says to his followers, and so therefore, because I am in you and working through you, you are the light of the world on my behalf. He goes on to say, a town, or in our case, a church, built on a hill, cannot be hidden. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. There it is. It's wrapped up. That's our mission. That's what Jesus says our lives should be about, our church should be about. And if we're going to be a church that shines the light of Christ, then that means we need to be faithful followers of Jesus, able to articulate the gospel to others and invite them to follow Jesus too. Not hold anybody off, inviting others to come to Jesus. And so because of that, our first vision initiative for 2020 is actually a carryover from 2019, because in various forms, it's going to continue to be our calling as a church, and it's this. We will continue to be intentional about making disciples who make disciples by asking everyone at Trinity to experience D201. Wow. What is D201? Talk about that in a minute. But don't miss the first part. This hasn't changed from last year, because we still need to be disciples who are making disciples. That's our calling as individuals and as a church. So we did that last year through what we call D, or Discipleship 101. And those of you that were here through the year last year hopefully experienced this. Pastor Jason led the teaching in this in different areas, different formats throughout our church, basically going through the gospel. What is the gospel? So you remember there were four parts to that. The first was talking about God as the creator of all and of us, about man, about humanity, about our problem, our sin problem. Thirdly, about Jesus, who came to do something about that sin problem, Jesus, who is our Savior. And then fourth, what is our response to what Jesus has done about our sin problem? That's the gospel. And so we made that very clear in those four sessions. And let me say, if you weren't here at Trinity yet, or maybe you missed one of those four, or you didn't hit one of those classes where we presented that, our goal last year was that everybody who's a regular part of Trinity would go through that course. So if you missed it or any part of it, it's on our website. And so just put a screenshot up here. If you go to the Trinity website, trinitychurchmhformarblehill.org, right on the homepage, you'll see Discipleship 101. You click on that, and you can go back and review what we taught last year, the basics of discipleship. This is year two. So this year, our vision includes going on to the next step, which we're calling D201, Discipleship 201. And this is going to start next Sunday. This year, we're bringing it right into the Sunday morning, right into our worship time together. For the next 4 weeks, starting next Sunday, we're going to be talking about spiritual life. What is the role of God's Spirit in our lives? How does He help us grow as believers, as disciples? How has He gifted us for that? That's going to be our focus in the next 4 weeks, because that's the spiritual life, the Christian life. It's core to being a disciple. And so it's got to be part of our vision. If we're going to be disciples who are making disciples, then we need to understand what it means to grow in Christ. Those messages, too, will be on the website every week. So again, if you can't be here, you miss one of these next four Sundays, you go to the website, you can watch the service online, you can listen to the audio of the message. There are ways you can keep up, and I encourage you, please, to do so. God's kingdom, we enter it by faith, like a child. And when we enter into his kingdom, we walk with him by faith as well. And that's what D201 is going to be all about. And so our vision has to start there. Our vision starts with the gospel, the message of the kingdom. But God also wants us to be aware of and attuned to who are those who are the recipients of the kingdom, right? So that's where we go next, the recipients of God's kingdom. Go back to our passage in Mark chapter 10. Jesus consistently surprised his disciples. It's just fascinating to watch this. If you read through the Gospels and you see this, every time the disciples thought Jesus was going to do something, he's going to go this way, he went that way. They thought he was going to do this, he went that way. The things that he said, the things that he taught constantly caught them off guard. And this was another one of those cases. But this was their learning curve. This was the experience as they saw Jesus and heard him teach. They were learning his ways. And so in this particular case, they thought they were doing Jesus a favor by keeping the kids away, and Jesus totally surprised them. Not only did he want them to come to him, he wanted these children in his kingdom. Just another rendition, another picture of what this might have looked like. And again, I just love these images, Jesus picking up a child, holding him in his arms, and he says, "This is what the kingdom is about. These children are examples of the right attitude for entering my kingdom." And Jesus felt this way, not just about children, in this case, in this passage, specifically about children, but also about all those that he called in Matthew 25, the least of these. And again, this is a view into the heart of God and the kingdom of God. Because those who society typically rejects, Jesus accepts. Those who may be forgotten, Jesus remembers. Those who tend to get pushed away by others are welcomed and accepted by Jesus. That's the picture here. So how could we possibly have any different view of God's kingdom? How could we possibly act any different way than the way Jesus acts in this passage? How could we not be as welcoming in our vision as Jesus was with his kingdom vision? And so our vision for 2020 includes an initiative that I think and I hope and I pray will allow us to do what Jesus did in this very passage in Mark. So here it is, vision initiative number 2. By the way, don't worry about trying to write these down. We're going to give you something at the end of the service that has all these vision initiatives written out. But here's number 2. We will launch a new homegrown ministry to serve the students, families, teachers, and staff of Tate Elementary School. Now, I'm really excited about this because Tate Elementary School, if you're not aware, right down Highway 53, is the closest public school to our church, within 15 minutes or less from here. It services families and children from our community where Trinity Church sits. The community of Marble Hill, Big Canoe, Bent Tree are all served by Tate Elementary School. This is an opportunity for us to minister to children, teachers, staff, families, to come alongside them and help them, to be like Jesus, to take the children of Tate Elementary School, in a sense, in a way, in our arms and show them the love of Jesus. So let me tell you the God story of how this came about, because you got to know the history to see how this is just some idea that popped into my mind or somebody else's mind. Well, we should just go do this. No. If you remember our vision from last year, it was actually presented in the end of 2018. We lived it out through 2019. One of those was to form what we called a community focus team here at Trinity to explore opportunities and needs in our community. We knew we wanted to be intentional about ministering in our community, but we weren't sure exactly how to do that or where to do that. And so this team, a group of 5 or 6 faithful individuals from Trinity, met throughout the year last year, prayed faithfully throughout the year last year, researched different opportunities and possibilities did a bunch of homework about it for a year. This past fall, one of those opportunities out of many that popped up was doing something with the school system. So Bruce Godfrey, because of his background with, he was on this community-focused team because of his connection to the school system in the past. He went and connected with somebody and got a green light. Yeah, we would be interested in having a church come alongside a school. He was directed specifically to Tate Elementary School, met with the administration there. And you know what happened? They threw the doors wide open. They said, yes, we would love that. If a church would come alongside and offer volunteers to come and help and at our school. Thank you. So here's a picture of Tate Elementary School, the marble in Marble Hill, the marble front of this school. Let me just say this, I'm not real big on finding signs and trying to make something out of everything you see, because sometimes you can go down the wrong track and be led astray. But I could not miss, when I found this picture online, put it up for this sermon. Do you notice what's on either side of that door in the front of Tate Elementary? Crosses. I don't know, sometimes you see windows, sometimes the construction's that way, and maybe nobody ever even intended that. But to me, I feel like maybe this is a sign, if you will, to us. Anyway, what I do know is that Jesus led us to this opportunity. God opened up these doors in a way that we could not have imagined or asked for. And so once those doors opened, this committee, this team, community-focused team, brought this back and said, we feel like this is the best, because here was the criteria. We wanted to find something, a need in our community that was not being met by any other church or organization. We wanted to find something that was truly a need area. There was an open door. There was an opportunity there. We wanted to find something that was a good fit for Trinity Church and the kinds of things that we could do, ways that we could serve. This opportunity met all of that criteria. And God opened up the doors. And so this past fall, after that year of praying and searching and coming to this, they presented that idea to the elders. The team took this to the elders. The elders were enthusiastically responsive to say, yes, we agree with you. So we put together a team that for now is called our Tate team, because that's what they're going to do, is research this, figure out how do we come alongside Tate. Here are the gracious people who have already agreed to be a part of this team. Now, the work is still yet to come on this, but Debbie Duggar is helping co-lead this, along with Bruce Godfrey, who is our elder representative over this, and these other individuals who have various interests in school and education and children's ministry and stuff like that. They've come along board. Now, this team will work with the team at the school to figure out how we do this. What are some opportunities? What are the best ways to come alongside? And so I want you to hear just a few of those ideas. In fact, Debbie, come on up here for just a second. I want you to hear just a few ideas, because Debbie and Bruce and I met with one of the administrators at Tate Elementary School just a couple days ago. And so just to get a little flavor of what may be to come, I want you to hear about a few of the ideas that are coming up just within the next month of how Trinity is going to be able to come alongside and serve at Tate Elementary School. And by the way, Debbie has 30 years of experience as a classroom teacher, right? So that's a great qualification right there. And part of their church, in Powder Springs, did a ministry like this at a middle school, right?
No, it was an elementary school.
Okay. So she's got experience. She's seen this happen before in a church coming alongside of a school. So tell everybody just a little bit about some of the upcoming possibilities.
Well, I'm new to a microphone, so you might have to help me.
Just hold it right there. You're
okay,
good.
Okay, right there. Well, we want to serve the students, the staff, the family members of Tate Elementary School, and we're going to start with support of the teachers to begin with. Hopefully the week of Valentine's Day, we would like to do a little dessert coffee treat for them where we set up some goodies in the conference room with some beverages. The assistant principal has agreed to help the teachers have a few minutes to come, and they'll just begin to get to know that Trinity Church wants to show kindness and goodness to them. So one way we get to the students is by supporting their teachers. Another way we're going to help real soon is they're planning a daddy-daughter dance, and they have trouble getting enough adults there to help out. So the assistant principal asked if we might be able to provide some just bodies, just people to be there and to show kindness and goodness.
And you don't even have to be able to dance, right?
You don't even have to be able to dance, and you don't have to dress in red, even though it's Valentine's Day. We don't know the date yet of their daddy-daughter dance. We're waiting for that information. This is all brand new to me. This past week, Thursday, was my first meeting with the administration there, so we're just getting it off the ground. But eventually we want to help with their field days. We want to help when they have a Reading Across America, when they need more adults in the school, just to show the kindness and the goodness of God. We'll be planting the seeds. This year our involvement will probably be minimal. We're just getting it off the ground, but as we get off the ground, we can plan for next year. There's a great harvest out there. I read the statistic that 70% of Pickens County is unchurched. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a wide open mission field right here in front of us. We don't have to go far away to be missionaries. We can all help. So we'll be asking for your help through donations of food items, of your time. If you want to participate in some of the activities that we'll throw out there, you won't have to sign up for every one. If you just want to go once, it'll be there. If you want to go every time, it'll be there. We also have the opportunity to stock a snack pantry for them where there are students who can't afford to bring snacks. And they will be getting with us about a list of acceptable items. Another possibility is some way to send packaged food home on the weekends with those students that the counselor would identify as possibly being hungry because they're not fed at the school. So there are going to be lots of opportunities, and we'll be asking for your help. Everybody can do something, and that is everybody can pray.
Amen. Thank you, Debbie. Appreciate you. Thank you. Would you be praying for Debbie, for Bruce, for everybody listed on that team? They're going to be the organizers, but they are not the volunteers. We, together as a church, as a whole, my prayer, my hope is that as a vision initiative, we will embrace this, in a sense, adopt this school as our own, as Debbie described, as our mission field, in a sense, just the place where we go and show the love of Christ to the families, the teachers, the staff there. This represents the heart of Jesus for our community, and maybe especially for the kids and families in our community. And we got a picture of just some of those kids standing out on that front door there. Just see a few of their precious faces. There are 476, I believe it is, children, kindergarten through fourth grade at Tate Elementary. There are about 60 staff, teachers, and other staff. We're going to take time to pray for them at the end of our service here. But this is what Jesus said to his disciples, "Let the little children come to me." We get to now say that, be a part of that, a blessing to these children. So as Debbie said, we're going to need volunteers in all different capacities. This is not I don't do kids. That kids ministry is not my thing. Even if you say that, doesn't matter. There's going to be so many different ways to help and participate and serve in this capacity as we continue to embrace this. And as Debbie said, we're starting this small and simple. We need to show this school that we're here. We just need to be faithful. We need to be consistent. When we say we're going to be there, we need to be there. We need to build trust. And as that trust builds, I'm trusting God's going to continue to open other doors for us to be light in our community. Sorry?
People.
Yes. One more time. Go back to the list again. Yes. So Debbie and Bruce, you see, our co-leaders. Charles and Casey, kind of our staff representatives, because they're in charge of family ministry here at Trinity. Barbara Ress, Kristen Richardson, who, by the way, Kristen and Nick, their daughter attends Tate Elementary, so they are parents in the mix there, so a great addition to our team. Sue Waters, who's involved in education, Haley, who works in the schools, and Phil Ingram, who's done this kind of ministry before. This is a crack team, I'm telling you. God's provided people with the right kind of background and experience to be a part of this team. So they're gonna do a great job, I know, in organizing, planning, and getting opportunities for the rest of us to just step in and be the hands and feet of Jesus, very simply and easily. So this is vision initiative number two. It's a huge one. It's a big one. And I think this, I'm praying, will kind of mark us. This will be one of the identifying factors of Trinity Church, is this ongoing relationship with Tate Elementary School. But there's another side of this, which takes us to initiative number three, because if God blesses this, and if God gives us opportunity to build relationships, and if God brings maybe some of those families from Tate to Trinity as their home church, home base, then we need to be ready to invite them, welcome them, and minister to them here. And so this really is a continuation, too, from what we started last year. So it says in number three, we will continue to build up our ministry to families by providing marriage and parenting training and by establishing a marriage mentoring ministry. So these are ongoing efforts, but kind of new and fresh to our vision is that this idea of the training for marriage, the training for parents, knowing that strong homes make a strong church, the strong marriages make strong parents. And so this marriage mentoring idea that we proposed in our last vision last year, which had to get kind of postponed a bit because of other priorities, we're coming back to it. We're saying, yes, this is still important. We still want to do this. So this is back to the front burner for 2020. But it's not just families and children. And so here's where it takes a little bit of a turn in our next vision initiative. But I think this is another area where there are segments, people, groups within our church that can sometimes get missed. Even though they're not children, per se, as we focused on just a moment ago, sometimes it's those who are single, who are not part of a family, or their family isn't necessarily here, their blood family. Maybe those who are widowed, those who can get overlooked, maybe those who are unable to come to church and so they can be forgotten because they're not here with us Sunday to Sunday, but they're still part of Trinity Church. Those are some of the people the apostles identified. Remember in Acts 6? Some were getting overlooked, specifically some of the widows in the early church, very beginning part of the church in Jerusalem. Some of those widows were being overlooked. And the apostles said, wait a minute, we got to do something about this. And so the very first deacons were appointed in Acts chapter 6 to meet that need so that nobody would be overlooked. So that's got to be part of our focus. That's got to be part of what we do as a church here, which leads us to vision initiative number four. We will strengthen our congregational care through elder contacts and targeted deacon ministries. So let me tell you how this is going to work in a very practical sense. If you're a member here at Trinity Church, then you have been assigned to an elder. It's already happened. And you're going to be hearing from them probably later today or this week. If you're a member here at Trinity, you will be contacted at least quarterly by one of our elders who will just call or contact you to say, how are you doing? What do you need? What questions do you have? Is there anything going on that we can pray for? That's going to be a congregational care contact for everybody. So when you get that contact, it's not just, well, why are they singling me out? They think there's something wrong. Is there a problem with me? No, we're doing this for everybody. The whole church membership has been divided up among the elders for contact. Now, we need your help with that. Because if that elder reaches out by email, by phone call, leaves you a message or sends you a text, and you don't respond, then it's going to be hard for that connection, that communication to happen. So I'm encouraging you, respond. When that elder reaches out to you, reach back. And by the way, if you haven't yet made that commitment of membership, this is a great encouragement to do that, to get into that mix of that. Because that's the way membership is, the way you tell us, yes, I'm here, I'm committed, I want to be a part of this. And the way that we then say, and we are committing ourselves to your ongoing care and spiritual health. That's what membership is all about. And so maybe that's the first step you need to take in this regard. We've also been blessed this year with two new deacons. And so you as a church elected these deacons this past fall. And so two specifically who are in this kind of area of congregational care within our deacon board. So Pam Godfrey and Luray Arndt are now working with Cheryl Hollis. Cheryl has already been on our deacon board. She's focused on bread breakers and meal train and bereavement. These are congregational care areas too, but we want to now expand that. So now we have three deacons on this congregational focus. And so they're going to be working on a plan to reach out specifically to widows, singles, those who are not able to get to Trinity on a regular basis because of health issues or whatever, mobility issues. That plan is still yet to come, still in the works, but be watching for that. Just know that we're focusing on that. That's one of our commitments. It's one of our goals. It's a vision for this new year to increase our network of care within our church body. And then finally, initiative number 5. This is another continuation one. We will continue our search for a full-time music director who will lead our music teams and our youth band and provide music ministry to our community. So I kind of updated everybody on this about a month ago, but again, I'm just asking you, pray for our search committee with a new year. Now they're in kind of a new search mode and reaching out, and they're going to be evaluating candidates, so don't forget about this. Don't forget to pray about this. And I just pause to say, Dana, thank you. We are so appreciative of you. This search is not say, well, we got to get rid of Dana. He just keeps hanging around here. We need to find some. We are so thankful for him, for the talents and gifts God's given him, and he just continually, faithfully, in this extended interim position, leads us. But we feel God wants us to find somebody, and that there's somebody out there that will come in on a full-time basis, be able to build into our teams, build into our youth, build into our community through this area of music and worship. So be praying with our search committee, for our search committee, which we're going to do in just a minute, about that potential. This is our vision, folks. This is, as we together as elders through this year have been praying about this, discussing this, we believe that these are the ministry priorities that God has for our church for this moment in time, for this year. And I'm going to ask our ushers now to go ahead and hand out the cards. So we've put on cardstock, and you see a picture of it up here. You can't read it from that distance, but we're going to go ahead and hand those out. Just go ahead as I'm finishing up, just those of you that are identified, just help us hand those out. Take one of these. And keep it somewhere where you will see it. Keep it in your Bible, put it up at home, stick it on your fridge, somewhere where you will occasionally be reminded, this is our vision, this is our calling as a church. And be in prayer for these particular vision points. And remember, as you're looking at this and being reminded of this, we cannot accomplish this vision, these vision initiatives on our own. We cannot do this by ourselves in our own strength. And there's no attempt to do that. This happens as we rely on God's Spirit to work in us and through us. And so that's why over the next 4 weeks, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. How does that happen? How does God's Spirit work in us and through us and gift us for ministry? We must be relying on Him for this to be effective. The other thing is that we can't do this without all of us being a part of this. This is not just the elders' vision or the deacon's vision or the staff vision. This is to be embraced by us as a family, as a body. So through support, through prayer, through involvement, that's how these vision initiatives will be fulfilled. And I think as we do that, by the way, we will not only just fulfill 5 points of a vision, that's not a big enough vision. We will be doing God's kingdom work. We will be extending the gospel. We will be doing what Jesus thought was important for him to do, what he told his disciples to do, what he calls us to do. We will be involved in God's eternal kingdom work. That's what this vision is about. And as we welcome people in to Trinity, in the process of this, to experience the blessing of Jesus, as we draw them and say, hey, come and meet Jesus, not, hey, stand out here and wait your turn. Come and meet Jesus. Then our lives will be enriched by doing so, and God's kingdom will grow as we do so. As we apply the faith of little children to these vision initiatives, God's kingdom will take root in us and in our church. So as we close this morning, I'd like to spend just a few moments in prayer and to pray for these individual initiatives on their own, each one, each of these five. The first, since it's about discipleship and involves all of us, I'm going to ask one person, I'm just throwing this out for somebody who feels just burdened to come and pray for this, to come and take the microphone and pray, and I'm going to ask all of us to stand. So would you do that with me right now? Just stand where you are. Someone who will come and lead us in this prayer, I'm just going to hand the microphone to you, whoever God puts it on your heart to come and pray. Come and pray for us that we would grow as disciples, that we would be involved in discipleship, that we would be disciples who are making disciples. Would someone come and lead us in that prayer? Pray for this congregation. Thank you, Bruce.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with uplifted hands, thanking you that you are the God of mercy, love, mercy, and grace beyond all that we can ever wrap our hands and our heads around. You've loved us so very much. And in our messages this morning, how Jesus opens his arms to us who are sinful, to come to him, to be saved, to have peace, to have strength, to have mercy, to have joy. And Lord, as we embrace that, Lord, help us to realize as he worked here on the earth and he died and he ascended into heaven and he sent back his Holy Spirit. But before he ascended into heaven, he gave that great commission to go out and to give and to invite others into his kingdom. And Lord, this is our initiative to disciple. As we come to see who Jesus is, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would infiltrate this church. And this church, meaning each and every one of us. Lord, that our eyes and ears would be open to your truths, would be enhanced through your Holy Spirit to a renewed encouragement in the Word, to read the Word every day. To be filled with your spirit and your strength, Lord, in your eyes, and Lord, to open our mouths and open our hearts and use our feet and use our hands to go out into the world and be the open arms of Jesus, inviting even the children and everyone into your kingdom. Lord, this is our work. Lord, give us a renewed that the things of the earth would grow strangely dim, but the things of your kingdom, your people, your children would be first and foremost in our vision. Lord, thank you for the vision that you have placed upon us and you've brought forth this morning in the wonderful message that you've brought through your servant, but most of all through your Holy Spirit. Help us to realize that this is the most important thing that we can do in life is to make disciples for you. Lord, that what we enjoy, let us grow, Lord, in your strength and your joy and your purpose. Lord, that renews us each day, no matter what we have or what we don't have. It is your joy and your peace that gives us purpose and strength in this life. And Lord, that to share that with others. Lord, we just ask for your protection, We bind the presence of Satan that would in any way hinder this vision and this mission that we have. Let us realize the privilege that we have to work for you in your kingdom, O God. And may your Spirit put a hedge of protection around us. Give us your strength and your courage to go against the gates of hell and prevent. We ask this in Christ's holy and precious and powerful name. Amen.
Thanks. You may be seated. I'm going to ask those that are on that Tate team, if you would just stand right where you are, just stand in place. If you're on the Tate team, stand and just remain standing a moment. I'm going to ask if somebody would come and lead a prayer for this team and for this initiative and for God to open doors for this in this coming year. Tom, thank you.
Father God, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to minister to the students, the families, the teachers, and staff of Tate Elementary School. Bless each one of these people on this group, this committee, Lord, that you have called them and they have answered. And Lord, we just ask that if you can just touch one student, one family, one teacher, one staff member of Tate Elementary School during this initiative, this vision, it will be worthwhile, Lord. And we know that you have many, many opportunities that we can grow, help this school, all its members, etc. We ask this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. You may be seated. Our third initiative has to do with our family ministry, that's children and youth ministry, specifically here at Trinity Church, strengthening families, strengthening marriages. And so I'm going to ask Charles and Casey are kind of our staff representatives, but also if and Nick as well with youth, but if you're involved in helping in our youth ministry, if you're helping kids, nursery, any of those capacities, would you stand and represent that ministry right now for just a moment during this time of prayer? If you teach kids, if you're involved in children's ministry, youth ministry, stand. Well, we need to get more of you involved in children and youth ministry. Well, there's our answer right there. Would somebody come and pray for this initiative and this ministry? Thanks, Mike.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the vision of this church to serve families. Families in the sense of strengthening marriages, strengthening our skills as parents and as grandparents. And Lord, we pray that you would bless this vision, this initiative for 2020, that we would help those who are strong already in their marriage and need further encouragement. We pray for those who are struggling in their marriage or in their parenting. We pray that we would come alongside them, give them guidance and counsel, give them encouragement. And Lord, that we would make great strides as your people in support of those in need in the area of marriage and parenting. Lord, those of us who've been through this and experienced it know how difficult it is to have a strong marriage and to thwart the efforts of the evil one to pull us apart. We also know how difficult, Lord, it is to parent children and to guide them in the proper ways and to keep them into your family. And Lord, we just pray that we will become involved as a church body in support of this initiative and that it will take off like wildfire throughout this church, and that we will be able to impact others throughout our community because of what we're doing in this ministry. So Lord, we just ask for your blessing, and we know that you have great plans for this initiative, and we just ask that you would encourage us to participate as members of this church in support of it. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
Amen. Thanks, Mike. Our fourth initiative has to do with congregational care, as you heard. And so Let me just do a quick introduction to our elders and deacons who will be a part of this. We put their names on the screen. You saw this again a couple months ago when we had our new elders coming in, new deacons coming in, and some rotating off. These are our elders. Scott Abishan is our new moderator. Dave Slade served in that role for so many years, but this was his year to rotate off. So Scott has come in and is now picking up that role of leader or moderator for our board of elders. I'm going to ask all these individuals to stand again right where you are and remain standing. And I'm going to ask Scott to come on up and be ready to pray. And then I also want you to see our deacons. These are all of our deacons who faithfully serve, all in different capacities, different areas. I only mentioned congregational care because that's specific to our initiative, but all of them serving so faithfully in different areas of ministry. So all of our deacons, would you also stand and remain standing where you are? We want to pray specifically for these, our church leaders. And Scott, if you would lead us in this prayer this morning.
Father, we thank you so much this morning for your love towards us, that you gave us your Son, and Jesus, that you gave everything for us. Thank you so much for this congregation, Lord, that you brought together here on this hill. I thank you, Lord, that these believers gather today on the Lord's Day to worship you and to focus on the things that you'd have us to do. Lord, knowing that you commanded us to love each other, to bear one another's burdens, and I ask that you'd help us to do that as a congregation for each other. But God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, may we be your agents in doing that. Lord, may we truly love each other as we move forward. We praise you for this and ask all these things. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our fifth initiative is for our search, our ongoing search process for staff position. So I'm going to ask the music team to go ahead and come on up, stand by standing up front, ready to lead us in our closing song. So this obviously is a maybe most direct impact on this team. And I'm with the Allen's out. Grace is kind of our representative also of our youth band team. And so this is help we're looking for them. And if you're on our search committee, would you also stand right where you are? A couple of Scott and David are both on that committee. But if you're on our search committee, would you stand right where you are? Thank you, Cecile and Laura. And so I'm just going to lead us in this prayer. Let's pause for a moment and pray for this initiative as well. Lord, we thank you for the gift of music as something you've created as a tool for worship, as a way for us to express our hearts to you, as a way for us to learn, to be taught about you through the words of music, as a way to involve our heart for you. And so, Lord, we pray for this individual. We pray for this search process. We pray for our committee as they look at candidates, potential staff members for our church. I pray that you would give them wisdom and discernment. I pray that you would raise up that person at the right time in the right place that would join our team and join our efforts and join this vision here at Trinity Church to be a part of this and to help us take this gift of music not only here for our benefit, but take it out into our community and bless others, work through other partner ministries through the avenue of music and worship. And so we pray for that ongoing search, for your wisdom, your direction, and your timing. And I thank you for those that are serving. I thank you for Dana. I thank you for his leadership, for his heart for you, and for the way that he leads us to your throne every Sunday morning through this gift of music. And I thank you for the team who so faithfully serves, practices, prepares week after week so that we can sing your praises together. And Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this vision that you've given to us for your kingdom in Marble Hill, Georgia. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.